You're listening to Lyrics Undercover Free Edition, Case 225, Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton. Coverville Media proudly presents Lyrics Undercover, taking you behind the lyrics of well-known songs to uncover the real stories behind them. I'm your host, Brian Ibbett. Thanks for listening. You're currently subscribed to the free feed, which will only be updated with one episode per month. To get the premium feed, which includes four episodes per month, please visit lyricsundercover.com and click the subscribe button on the right side of the page. Code Monkey is described as a song for geeks, the success of its creator a fluke. Jonathan Colton and his fans would argue both counts. This week, Lyrics Undercover isn't telling the story behind the song. Instead, I'll be using the song and its writer as an example of how technology has changed the face of music distribution, giving life to artists who otherwise might not have had a shot. Colton studied music at Yale and moved to New York City after graduation, where he spent 8 years writing software. In September 2005, he left his day job and, about 2 weeks later, started his year-long endeavor to write and produce a song a week. There are a few covers in the Thing a Week collection, but when his acoustic version of Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back was posted, people noticed. Code Monkey went up on April 14, 2006. On April 23rd, a link on Slashdot turned the song viral. Colton said that while the song is not autobiographical, he affectionately referred to himself and his co-workers as Code Monkeys. He found the term particularly convenient when the client asked a question he did not want to answer. The response? What do I know? I'm just a Code Monkey.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant. What do Code Monkey think? Code Monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not say it out loud. Code Monkey not crazy, just proud.
Technology has fundamentally changed the relationship between artist and fan. Acts with record company support and corporate sponsorship still sell out arenas, but the community of the net helps lesser knowns find their niche. Lack of radio play hasn't kept Jonathan Colton, Pollen Storm, or Pomplamoose from developing a devoted following. All it takes is a keystroke to forward a link. Artist sites also help to pinpoint concentrations of fans. Tours can be planned to the greatest effect. It's not like the old days when musicians built a fan base show by show, hoping to attract enough fans to raise record label interest.
Code Monkey likes Beatles. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man with big, warm, fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you.
In an interview posted on the Freakonomics blog in November 2007, Colton remarked that the album is dead. Quote, "There's still a place for concept records, and CDs will be around for a few more years, but people really like to buy individual songs. And they do, not just sticking to Amazon or iTunes, but buying them directly from the artists."
Code Monkey, hang around at front desk till your sweater look nice. Code Monkey, offer buy you soda, bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code Monkey, have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey not thinking so straight. Code Monkey not feeling so great.
Colton releases his music under a Creative Commons license, which allows for file sharing and copying as well as non-commercial derivative works. On his website, he writes, "I give away music because I want to make music, and I can't make music if I don't make money, and I won't make any money unless I get heard, and I won't get heard unless I give away music." Fans have responded in force. In 2007, Clive Thompson of the New York Times sat down with Colton, who at the time was spending about 6 hours a day communicating with fans. Thompson wrote, "The day I met him, he was examining a music video that a woman who identified herself as a blithering fan had made for his song, Something Crazy. It was a collection of scenes from anime cartoons, expertly spliced together and offered on YouTube." Colton marveled over the fan's work, noting that she had spent hours working on it, and, he said, "Now her friends are watching this video, and fans of that anime cartoon are watching this video. It's a crucial part of the picture." After thanking the fan, he forwarded the link on to a British fan who runs the Jonathan Colton Project website, devoted to archiving his fan-made music videos.
Code Monkey like Beatles. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. in March. Code Monkey like you.
NPR's Planet Money wanted to know if Colton's success is a demonstration of a new business model or a fluke. Alex Blumberg interviewed Colton and then brought in Jake Begans and Franny Kelly from NPR's music blog, The Record, for their insights. In the May 20th, 2011 podcast, the critics described his success something of a fluke. Gans said he hit the lottery of the internet. Kelly, of his work, said, "It's good for him and it's not that good for everybody else. He's kind of like a Snuggie. He's a blanket with sleeves. We didn't know we wanted it, and then all of a sudden we did, and we were willing to pay a dollar and then send it to all of our friends."
Code Monkey have every reason to get out this place. Code Monkey just keep on working, see yourself pretty face. Much rather awake up, eat a coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, somehow.
On his blog, Colton responded with an articulate post that stuck to issues without commenting on personalities. He wrote, "The thing I think most got in the way of what could have been a much more interesting discussion was some confusion about what a business model is. Writing a song that gets discovered on Slashdot is not a business model any more than putting sleeves on a blanket is a business model. It's a thing that happened to me, that part is true, but it's not really much of a strategy. I make songs that are good and I sell them, and concert tickets and t-shirts, to the people who want them. That's my business model, and it's patently obvious that it's replicable because I stole it from every other recording artist in the world."
Code Monkey like Fritos, Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew, Code Monkey very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart, Code Monkey like you.
The post continues, "Here are some things I do differently from other artists. I own all my music 100%, which means I have complete control over how I sell it or not. I can give it away. I can bundle it on a USB key or on a zip file. I allow people to make and post music videos, and I don't have to deal with lawyers or labels to do any of that. I also get all of the profits. My business model is designed especially for me, by me, and it constantly changes and evolves." Change and evolution are inseparable from an artist's growth, but they also fuel the explosion of communities on the internet. It's hard to argue that these connections are a fluke. They are now business as usual. Just ask Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. That's going to do it for this edition of Lyrics Undercover. The show is written by Robin Vitamos and hosted by Brian Ibbett. To subscribe, visit lyricsundercover.com. And if you have a suggestion for a show, send it to lyricsundercover@gmail.com. For Coverville Media, this is Brian Ibbett. Thanks again for listening.